You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Jeremiah and chapter 29. And you'll remember we were there. We stopped to think about and understand prayer a little better, I hope. Jeremiah chapter 29. And as we do this, remember, we're in the presence of God. And being in the presence of God, God has given us his word, I hope you have a copy of that in your hands, or at least available. That's his word. What did he tell you about his word? When you search the scriptures, you'll find me. From Genesis to Revelation, you'll find me. So that's why we read the Bible, seek to understand it, and God's present, who gave it, and what we're reading about back in Jeremiah and Nebuchadnezzar and Zedekiah the king and all that. God, you are already there, and you were personally involved. And God, you want us to personally read the scriptures and study them in order that we might what? Learn wonderful things about yourself, on how you unfolded, outworked history. And so as we're reading, we expect to know details. You say, what's that got to do with anybody? Well, in one sense, it doesn't. On the other sense, it does. Now, and in doing that, we share together, in our recent, we just did it, with amen. God, you, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Amen. Remember at the beginning, 51 times in John, etc. Verily, verily, twice. And when it's at the beginning, so let it be. Verily, verily, at the end, so be it. God, you are the Amen. So what are we doing? We're here to understand you, to get to you, so that we can handle and enjoy, understandably, a relationship to you that honors you, that's profitable, and pleases you, so that as the body is here, we're able to amen, and it isn't just one over here and one over there. We're learning, trying to, as a body, as a believers, we're trying to unify and understand. Not 15 different things out there that you want to talk about. No, what are we looking at? And in a methodical, good way, what are we looking at, and do we understand it as a body, so that we're amening in God's presence what he has said, and the truths that are there about wonderful truths that help us here and now. So, let's give it a shot. In Jeremiah chapter 29, you're going to recall, remember, it's the last, this particular verse, chapter, etc., is talking about the time of Zedekiah. And Nebuchadnezzar has come into Babylon, to Jerusalem twice and taken captives. 605 and 597, he took them all captives. And Jeremiah is now writing, first letter noted, he's writing, sending a letter to those who have been exiled in the Jews, the prophets and priests and all of them over there, been exiled. And Ezekiel went this time, Daniel went the first time. And here they are in Babylon. And Jeremiah is given an assignment to write to them. Now, why is he writing to them? Well, God has exercised his awesome judgment in the light of their unbelief, in the light of their rejection of light and life and right, rejecting it. So therefore, here's the judgment of God. And always in the judgment of God, there is the mercy of God to be found. And God, in his wonderful judgment and mercy, has given them a way to be able to enjoy the discipline, if you could say it that way, and to survive the discipline properly, and to benefit from the spanking, to have the benefit, so that they can go now back after 70 years, which is the judgment, and back to Jerusalem. That was the plan. That's God's plan, God's wonderful plan. Now, God having said that, remember chapter 29, and in verse 10, you'll remember the 70 years are mentioned, and we, without going back and doing all that, in chapter 25 and chapter 29, and chapter 27, etc., God was telling him, you have to go to Babylon. Babylon is a way, I'm going to use Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to judge Israel, to judge the Judah and Jerusalem. And in the same breath, I'm going to allow space and grace for you to survive that judgment, if you choose, if you pay attention to what I say to you. And therefore, he sent them and told them to go back, to Jerusalem. Stay in Babylon and don't go back to Jerusalem. And that is God's wonderful grace. And we share together, God had a wonderful plan. And we read verse 10, verse 11. Remember, I'll read just a little bit in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, a wonderful, wonderful end, expectation. Then shall you call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, and said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And just in case we miss it, God is the author, and he is the administrator of the whole program. So if you were on planet Earth, in Jerusalem, in that day, in that time, you would have to know kings and rulers and false prophets and priests and all saying, and other nations saying all kinds of things. Uh-huh. But God was calling the shots. God calls the shots all the way. The reason you're going to go to Babylon is because I'm sending you there. No one else is sending you there. I'm going to judge Jerusalem. I'm going to send you to Babylon. No one else calls the shot. I do, said God. That's important because I want to understand. They don't realize when they rejected God, they rejected the author and finisher of the whole plan. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, here we are looking, and they're going to have a measure of recovery going back after 70 years, Ezra, Nehemiah, etc. Now, so here's Judah and Jerusalem. They're going downhill. Last king is Zedekiah, reigning in Jerusalem. And they're going downhill. They're going from bad to worse, dark, darker and darker and deeper and deeper. Now, to pick up the mood and catch up here, over to 2 Chronicles. Remember, Chronicles are looking at Jewish history from the temple. First and Second Kings and Samuel, that's looking from the nation as leadership. When you come to Chronicles, you're looking at the same period, but you're looking at it from the priesthood. How did they see everything? Now, so here we are looking over, if I can, over to Second Chronicles. I did say, chapter 7. And in the process, chapter 7, picking up in thought, if I may, over in chapter 7, it's going to verse 12, you'll pick it up. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Now we're looking at the Solomon's temple has been built and will be built and built. And verse 13, and if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be opened, and my ears attentive. I'm going to pay attention, said God, unto the prayer that is made in this place, in this temple. Hang on. In this temple. This is the place. Hang on to that. That's what we're looking at. In that place. Now, God. Now, what are they doing in Jeremiah's day? They have made it a house of abomination, a temple of evil and badness, literally in many ways. Oh, God, but that's the place, in that place. Hang on, verse 16. And now I have chosen and have sanctified this house that my name may be there. So, God, that's your place, there, and I'm going to be there forever. Oh, but the temple's going to go down. It doesn't matter. That's my place. That's my place. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So if I were to look over to Jerusalem, I would have to know in the midst of all the unbelief and all the rest of it, I would know God is in this place. God's in this place. That's what I know. That's what I could tell him. Whether you know it or not, you're in the presence of God. It's where his name is. Now, hang on. And verse 17, and as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel, etc., etc. Sliding down to verse 20. Then will I pluck them up, etc., I can't skip too much here. Verse 19. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes on the negative side, my commandments which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then, verse 20, will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land. I'm going to do it, said God. It's my land, which I, God, have given them. And this house where my name is, this is it forever, which I have sanctified for my name. That's why it's special, special, special. Hang on to that. Will I cast out, for thy name, will I cast out of my sight? What are you going to do? That's your house? That's where my name is. And you gave Solomon the blueprint to build it, like you did Moses, the tabernacle. But you know what? I'm going to wipe it out, God said. I'm going to wipe it out. I'll read it at the end of verse 20. Then, my name, I will cast out of my sight in the temple, and I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. I'm going to go and eliminate that temple. Hang on. It's my place. That's right, my place. Now, so, it's awful hard not to have to read this, all of it. Verse 20, 21. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to every one that passeth by it, the ruins of Jerusalem, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this? Recognizing it's God's city, God's place, God's people. Why hath thou done this unto this land, this place, and unto this house? Now that's the big question. How could you let Why would God ever do that? Why would not our gods, idolatry, but why would God do that? No, question. So, and sliding over to verse 22, and it shall be answered because, the answer, they, what is the world going to know and say? They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them, and therefore hath brought all this evil upon them. So God, here's the record. Now in Solomon, this is with Solomon. We haven't even got out of it. You got to tell him it's all going to go. The outworking of starting with Solomon and going forward to Zedekiah, etc. Now, having said that little bit and thinking about that for a sec, over if you would please to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah and chapter 7. And as Jeremiah ministered, served God, God's will with Israel, and Israel was to go and be exercised. And remember, God's going to destroy the temple. He said, I'm going to knock it out because of you, your idolatry, etc. Now, so now, going to join back in history, and coming back in history, back chapter 7, and sliding forward through Josiah and each of the kings as we go to Zedekiah. And in chapter 7, I'm just interested, God, what about this place? And in chapter 7 and verse 3, thus saith the Lord, the God of saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amen, bring everything in order, make it better, fix it. Amend your ways and your doings. Why? And I will cause you to dwell in this place. Now, they're already there. They're there. And I will cause you to dwell in this place. Sliding down to verse 6. And if ye oppress not the strangers and the fatherless and the widow and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, verse 7, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So I'm going to have you dwell there. Now, he's telling them. We just read in Chronicles, God said, I'm going to go and have to remove the very place that I have chosen. But I haven't gone away. I just knocked the building down. That's what I did. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and they're warned to, if they fix things, fix their lives, repent, etc., it would be different. But they didn't do that. Sliding over to verse chapter 14. And in chapter 14, picking up, please, if I can, verse 13, to get the flavor of it. Verse 13, chapter 14. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And God already told them, if they didn't stop, He was going to level the place. But they're giving him a message in this place. But he's trying to tell them, this isn't, they were claiming, which we do. We know all this stuff, you guys. We say it's our church. It's my church. Baloney. Is that all right? It isn't. It never was. Except when we took it away from God, we made it ours. And that's why we don't enjoy church. It's His church. It's His body. You say, hang on. And so the Israel claimed it. Our temple, our city, our sacrifices. No. It was all about God. But they didn't catch on. So now, therefore, in chapter 14, and verse 13, we read together, the end of the verse, I will give you assured peace in this place, which is not true. It's not true. If you don't believe, if you do believe, it is. But if it is, don't. Chapter 16. And in chapter 16, picking up, please, again, just watching it unfold itself, chapter 16, verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place. In your eyes, you're going to see it, and in your days, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. All of the wonderful things that make your life meaningful from a human standpoint are going to be missing. Chapter 19. But they aren't paying attention. They aren't paying attention. So therefore, chapter 19, picking up in verse 3. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O King of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which, whosoever heareth it, their ears shall tingle. No one will believe that God, we just read that in Chronicles and that. And no one would ever believe that would be, but it will. No one's going to believe it. God would let this happen, but he does in his most awesome way. Verse 4, I'll read that. Because they have forsaken me and estranged, it means to profane, make common, this place, they made it very common, not holy, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. And so it's coming along. It's not going to come out good as we go. Verse 6. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall be no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And remember, we did it when we did that in chapter 19. What is that? That's down in the southern part. Here's Jerusalem, and go to the end of the city. Down, go out the gate, end of the city, and there's the valley, and there's this piece of property. And remember, Jeremiah goes down and breaks the vessel, the potting breaks it, and said, this is what's going to happen. And he did that. And that's where it's going to be called, because of all the dead and buried, no place to bury them, the Valley of Slaughter by Nebuchadnezzar. No place to bury them. Wow. Now, where they're all killed. Now, picking up in that in mind, if you would, having that a little bit, over to verse 12. And this will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Tophet, ruined place. Wow. A place where you dump all the garbage. Wow. Now, I'm going to make it like that. I'm going to make this city. I'm going to make this city like that. Verse 13. And the house of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon which, whose roofs, they have burnt incense unto all the host of heaven, idolatry, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. And all of that was happening in an awesome way. Over to chapter 29, where we were in chapter 29. And what are you saying? This is picking up where we were. And what do we remember what we read in verse 10, 29:10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Now, that's the promise God made. He said, I'm never going to leave it. I'm always going to be there. It's my place. They tried to claim it and made a mess of it, and I had to fix it. I'm fixing it. Nebuchadnezzar is going to level it, And 70 years later, Ezra and Nehemiah and all of them are going to come back and build the temple. It's never going to be like Solomon's, but it'll be something. They're going to be able to have a little bit of recovery, if you would. Now, in the process of that, and therefore, verse 14, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. I drove you out, I made you leave, and Nebuchadnezzar took care of everyone that didn't want to leave. He took care of them. I did all that in this place, and I'm going to bring you back to this place, okay? Because you aren't leaving. No, God made a commitment, Deuteronomy and that. He told Moses where he's going to put his place, and Jerusalem, no question. So God, here's the place, the city, the place of your name, place of your temple, the place where you're always going to be. So all the nations of the world, if the nations of the world are going to find you, they're going to have to go in a geographical way. They're going to have to go to Jerusalem, start with Jerusalem. They're going to finish with Jerusalem. If you're going to find God in a city, you're going to have to go there. Because that's where you understand God said, I'll always be there, no matter how you cut the cookie. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, in the light of that, this place and all of that, over to 1 Kings chapter 8. And in 1 Kings in chapter 8, verse 28, picking up right in the light of the context and his great prayer, verse 28, 8 and 28. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord, my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee this day. Verse 29. That, what is that, Solomon, you're looking for? What did you understand, Solomon? That thine eyes may be open toward this house, this temple, this place, night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken here unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And that's what you read, 29, verse 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That they pray when they're scattered all over the world. Look to Jerusalem, as it were. And verse 30. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, and they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, when thou hearest, forgive, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, verse 56. Well, for time's sake, 56 a little bit. Blessed, 8 and 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto the people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. So God kept his word all the days and all the time, and God never fails his word. And Solomon, remember, was so impressed by God's wonderful presence and God's commitment to be who he is. He, in front of all the people, and all the people participated, obviously. Verse 63, and Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house to the Lord. Now, this is a wonderful dedication of the temple. Awesome, wouldn't it? All those thousands of animals, I can't even, and I bet you can't either, understand, killing them all. Thousands of animals. And we aren't talking about the state of Connecticut, we're talking about the city of Jerusalem and all thereabouts, obviously. Wow. Now, having said that, dedication and commitment. Now, go with me, please, in the light of that. In the light of that, God's word is Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And if you were to turn the pages of the Bible at a rough guess, you're going to have Jerusalem mentioned 860 plus times as you turn the pages. Jerusalem, 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 Jerusalem. That's what you're going to have. Wow. Jerusalem, that's a city. That's right. Is there any other city? Oh, no. No, there isn't no other city. Is there any other place on planet Earth that we can that God's committed himself to? No. No, he's committed himself. That's why he prays. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, etc. Now, in the process of that, keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful word, doing what he does, to get the flavor of it, God, you're going to keep it. Over to Ezekiel. Over to Ezekiel and chapter 48. The last chapter. And you will notice, please, in that last chapter, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to make it known. Remember the chapter 40, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all about the temple, millennial temple. In the kingdom, 1,000 years, the temple, okay? And now when you come to that, the end, after telling you of verse after verse about how the temple is built and everything about it, wow. So when you come to chapter 48, you come to the very last thing you know. And what are we going to do with this Jerusalem? And it was round about 48, 35, and it was round about 18,000 measures, that's the size, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Now, in the millennium, what are we going to call it? You're going to say, what is the name? Is it Jerusalem? Ah, you're going to say the Lord is there. And the word there, little adjective in this place, is the word Shema. There, there, there. Where are you, God? There. That's where I am. For 1,000 years. Where am I going to find you? There. In your wonderful resurrected body. Wow. Now, over to Zechariah. And in Zechariah, you know, chapter 14, if I can pick up the mood of it. And in chapter 14, picking up, please. Oh, you'll catch it, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord, tribulation, his return, judgment. Not to Nebuchadnezzar now, it's to the world, battle of Armageddon, etc., etc. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And I will gather all nations against where? Jerusalem. Where are you going to go? Here's a tribulation, 7 years, everything leads to the great confrontation with them all coming together to shake their fist at God and shoot their rockets. Anyway, it's sort of funny in the process, and they do that. Now, so, verse 14. Chapter 14, verse 2. Against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So we are looking in the middle, remember, his image is put up in the temple, and things go from bad to worse. Now, having said that, here's the battle. Ultimately, they're going to all end up all coming back to Jerusalem, the king of the north, south, and each one. They're going to have to come back, and the battle's going to be there because they're all gathered together. And it turns around, they're going to, instead of going after each other, they're going to go after God. Now, chapter 14, that's Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now, chapter 14, if I can, over in verse 20. In that day, there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. and the pots in the Lord's house, the containers, shall be like the bowls about the altar, most holy. Verse 21, yea, every pot in the city, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah, everyone shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and seethe, boil the food, meat and stuff, be seethed in them, therein. In that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Now God, you make it very clear. So I told you, you're all going to, in this place, I don't have another place. Babylon isn't the place. New York City isn't the place. Jerusalem's the place. And I want you to know, I told you where it was in the beginning. So all the world is going to find out in the tribulation. And, oh boy, are they going to find out in the millennium, because they have 1,000 years to observe perfect conditions in perfect ways. We can't even understand them. And they're going to see. And they have a right to make believe or not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, and our time has gone to put it together, so what can we do? We'll try to do a little. Now, if you would please, if you would know, keep in mind, here's Jerusalem, the temple and God, and that's God's witness to the nations. That's in the past. Today's the age of grace in the church, from the cross to the rapture, and then tribulation, then the kingdom, and the main place is the city, Jerusalem, and the temple will be built, and that's the place where it's going to be. So if you're going to find God from a worldly standpoint, that's what you're going to do, except right now in the age of grace. Now, God, how are you conveying in a most marvelous way that it's all true? And so you can't say, well, the Jews are put aside and Israel's in unbelief, et cetera, times of the Gentiles. You can do all that. But a God who knows, the Jews don't know, don't believe. Gentiles don't care. No. They hate Israel. Israel is a thorn in their flesh, et cetera, et cetera. So they hate that. But they're all after each other and after Israel to boot. And so here they are. Now, God, what are you doing? All the things that we read about, we just read in this city, in this place, never wrong. God, what did you do? You went and died on the cross, which was required, and you rose again from the grave. And here we are. Here we are, God. Now hang on. Over, you know it. 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. And if you know the Lord as your Savior, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, God, what are you going to do? The world, you're giving them great assurance that this place, Jerusalem, is going to be, no matter how you cut the cookie, it's going to be. And it's going to be. Now, why is it going to be? Because I rose again, I'm crucified, he was crucified, seated at the right hand of God. Now, God, up there. Now, God, up there, yes, down here. You see, when anyone receives me as their Savior, I save them. I do something wonderful in them. I become their God and Savior. They recognize and realize more and more that I created them and that I am their life in totality. And everything they're looking for now and forever is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 3:4, who is our life. Now, God, what are we doing? And so the world wants to know, the Jews want to know. No, they don't care. The kingdom and the tribulation and the temple, his place. Yes, it is. Absolutely. Now, and having said that, keeping that in mind, over if you would please, and as you are, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now God, what are we doing? We are reminding all the world that what? What does the local church do? It represents the person of Jesus Christ, his body. That's what it's all about. Now, don't make it something else. You'll lose it. Anything that takes away from that loses. So God, here we are. We're there to honor your person. That's what we're doing. Honoring your person, your word, your outworking. And as we do that and look to you, what are we going to know? Well, God, that you're going to go and be who you are and do what you do. Now, God, when they crucified you, did you disappear? They think so. No, you didn't. And that's why us whosoever's that believe and come to know the Lord as our Savior in this age of grace, what are we doing? We're making everyone know Jesus Christ lives. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am going to be in that city. I am going to fulfill my word. Now, I didn't disappear. You thought I disappeared, crucified, it's all over. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Because you represent the living and only God. And therefore, read, watch it. You know it. Verse 19. And what know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Why? Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. What are you doing? You're showing the Lord until he comes. Aren't you? You're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for his what? His soon coming. His return for you. Until, and then if you got under, if I was paying attention as a person, I would look at the church, and the church is honoring Jesus Christ as they, if they were, should, as they should. They're looking to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one that rose again from the grave. That's right. So God, here we are looking to you. And God, in the light of all of that, in this place, which place? In my heart and in your heart. In that place. Are you ever going to change places? Never. Jerusalem, did you change? Everything happened, but you never left, quit Jerusalem, never. In fact, we can only out of time. If you looked in Revelation, what would you find? What's it going to be? A new what? You can say it, don't you? A new what? A new Jerusalem. I didn't get rid of Jerusalem. I got one coming down in the eternal heavens, in a new heaven and a new earth, and that's where you're going to be. And who's the center of it? He is. And all the people that said, I told you it was this place, you just didn't believe me. And you played games with it. You should have understood, I mean what I said. I keep my word forever. I'm in this place. Now that's Jerusalem. Well, what can I say? No, what I can go home with, he's in this place in your heart if you're saved. And he's never going to leave. And that assurance is what you to show the absolute wonderful saving grace in your life. And the Jews and the Gentiles have to pay attention to you. And they will. May hate you, may not like it, but you're going to be a faithful witness to Jesus Christ, who's put his name in Jerusalem. Who put his name there? He did. If that's where you want to find him, you're going to have to go to Jerusalem. What are you going to find in Jerusalem? You're going to find the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we going to find the Lord Jesus Christ? And then here you are as a little light in the darkness. You need to receive him as your Savior, just as I did. Wow, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Anyway, thank you.